This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
Like, really, I just want to be playing PS4 games on my Game Boy. Color.
Color.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 73 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills. So we missed last week's episode, normal recording time, because Rob and I went to South by Southwest EDU.
Austin, Texas.
I shortly considered doing an episode by myself, but I realized
what
it was
talking about?
Dark Souls and Kanye West.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did you
see there's a Dark Souls
board game coming out? No.
It's going to be so hard.
The guy says you just die a lot. I was like, that sounds amazing.
So yeah, we went down there, had a lot of good food, and
so much meat
was it was pretty bad. And
meat on my waffles, that was fantastic.
Had waffles shaped like the state of Texas.
That's great. Right, yeah, that's good.
They do that. They totally do that.
Yeah, and with all that good food, how much weight did you gain, Rob?
-3 pounds.
-3 pounds. Excellent. That's about
awesome walking.
That's about how much I gained.
I would be in so much better shape if I lived in a city where I walked to things.
Yeah, apparently that makes a difference.
Rob's new diet, only meat and waffles.
I know, and walking.
It's revolutionary.
Yeah, and walking. So how was it?
It was good. No, we went to the education conference. We were not there. We left right before Obama came. Yeah, which is probably for the better, because we would have been stuck in the airport. We had a disaster of a flight going down there, though. In the sense that it just got delayed for like 3 hours.
Jeez.
And then missed a connecting flight and all that nonsense.
Our iPads were broken.
Yeah. Food is good. Saw some good panels on entrepreneurship and education, games and education. Yep.
Good jazz.
Oh, yeah. We went to the jazz spot that I like down there.
I was lonely for a few hours during the week.
A few hours.
I was wondering, because this usually takes a few hours.
That's it.
Yeah, inside baseball. For
what'd you eat on Wednesday?
Nothing. I literally had nothing to do. I couldn't figure out what to do. Well, speaking of conferences.
Oh, God.
Oh, that game was developer.
Good. You just automatically assume it's a bad segue. I take it back. Very good.
GDC, the Game Developers Conference, is going on now. I think it started...
this week.
Yeah, it started this week. Yeah. I don't remember what day. But a lot of stuff. It's a very different conference than E3, per se, because, like I said, it's Game Developers Conference, so it's heavy focus on developers, and I guess new features, new ideas, rather than not as much new IP, but one huge thing that was announced was Phil Spencer got on stage, and he actually said they are open to cross-platform compatibility. So basically, Xbox playing with PC, definitely. That's one thing they clearly want to do.
Yep.
But then working with other consoles as well. Well, I should say other systems. They did not name a certain system.
What's interesting, you talk about Xbox and PC. They just shut down Lionhead Studios, who's making Fable, which was like, when Windows 10 came out, that was the game they always showed in demo reels, where they were like, you can play on your Xbox and your PC, and marketed the hell out of that game, and then ended up shutting down the studio. So
that was a
little
sad.
That's disappointing.
RIP Lionhead.
Yeah.
But it's...
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Fable was... And plus, you know...
It was fine.
Love him or hate him, Peter Molyneux was Lionhead. Yeah. So him leaving, you know, even if you dislike what he made, I don't know if it's... Just go to 22 cans. But anyway, this is obviously a big deal. I mean, this is a thing that people have been talking about for years.
Forever.
Even
this was back
PC.
When we were playing like Sega and Nintendo.
Well, granted,
there weren't as many games that were cross-platform then. But
I think, you couldn't really play online then, except for that one weird thing
son,
that you could play
guess
online.
What had it?
But anyway, basically, once people started using the internet on consoles, people were saying, hey, I've got friends who are on PlayStation, I've got friends on the Xbox, why can't we play together? And people have been talking about this forever.
Yeah, so you assholes make me buy both systems.
Yeah, basically. Well, it's your fault you wanted the Xbox.
That's true.
And so these are a couple things I want to talk about.
It's your fault for wanting things that you like.
It is. No, it's very true. It's a very valid point.
But so, you know, a huge point about buying the console, at least mostly for me, was that I want to buy the console that everybody's on.
Right.
I will say, I mean, with the PlayStation,
well, there are a lot of exclusives to the PlayStation that you like.
Yeah, a lot less than previous generation. Like every generation is,
but
I feel like less.
Specifically
and less.
For Sean. And
sure. Well, Bloodborne.
So
let's be real.
Yeah.
One game.
No, I mean,
no, but there are
other
games
others.
Like Last Guardian. He's very interested in Final Fantasy See, Relaunch. You know.
Even No Man's Sky
Isn't
for
that
a long
on
time
PC,
I didn't
though?
Know it was PC.
Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah.
I don't think the...
The remake? I don't know remake, if they will. They might. But either way, so this is a big deal. So a lot of the decision, a point that drove a decision, that doesn't make any sense. But anyway, you would think about what system is all your friends on.
Right,
and that is something... Like, I wasn't married to the PS4. And honestly, if all my friends were on Xbox One, I would get an Xbox One. I'm not against an Xbox One. So
that's right.
What do you, I mean, is this a big deal for you guys? Or do you, I mean, I'll be honest, at this point, everybody I know has a PS4, so it doesn't really matter that much.
So
but.
What's interesting to me is that,
I don't have a PS4.
the game that they center this talk around was Rocket League.
Yeah,
which is really funny because
that
is a small indie studio who made this game. It's like completely taken over everything, which is awesome for them. But I mean, it's an interesting move because it could either be really good or really bad for Xbox. Like this could go pretty badly for Xbox, I feel.
Yeah, it can definitely cut both ways, right? And so we'll see what happens. But I mean, for me, it kind of, like, if this comes to fruition on the major titles, then it makes it very simple for me. I'm just building a new PC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get an Xbox. I don't need a console, right? Like right now I'm thinking, we've been talking about this for over a year, I know, but but I've been talking
since
about
episode 4
building and building a PC and buying which console to buy, but now it's just like, well, I'll just build a PC.
Well, so okay, I guess, are you both saying the same point? The idea is that this might cannibalize console sales because people will buy PCs, or I should say more specifically Xbox One sales, because I would think. So
yeah.
I don't know if this is true, but I was listening to another gaming podcast, and it was the Giant Bombcast, and they know their shit pretty well. And they had said, developers had been saying consistently that Sony was open to this in the past, but Microsoft was pretty strongly against it. And the thing is, Microsoft has been doing a lot of changes lately because even though the Xbox One is still selling very well, they're very far behind PlayStation 4 and Sony. So this is the thing that's making them
I mean,
do all these changes.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
Well, I don't mean necessarily because of Windows, PCs cutting into it, but it's kind of the conversation that we just had, right? Like, let's say... So if all the games exclusives weren't really relevant to us, and Rob had an Xbox One, and you had to buy something, you'd say, well, I guess I'd get an Xbox One, right? But
that's
now,
what I hoped happened. It did not happen.
Well, I mean, let's look at it specifically with me in mind, right? So you have a PS4. Let's say Rob only had a Xbox One, and Dave has a PS4, and I have to make a decision. Well, do I want to split it and make it even with Rob, or do I want to? And now it's like it's not even a decision if this happens the way they say it could.
But I think the way they see it as. That situation just isn't happening anymore. It's that I want to get an Xbox One, but all of my friends are on a PlayStation 4 because the numbers, the sales overall are pretty low.
That's what they're hoping because they're behind. But if you're ahead, that's what I mean. Like, it's a double-edged
sword.
Sure,
yeah. And I guess...
So that's maybe why Sony historically changed their... No? That's maybe why Sony is changing their historical position. Like, if you were saying the guys at Giant Bomb were suggesting that Sony would have been open to this in the past. Well, if they're not anymore, it's because they have a pretty big lead in the console.
Yeah, and
sales.
That's the next thing to talk about. I forgot. I think GameSpot had a quote that Sony, they were very coy on it. They didn't seem positive on it. I don't think they necessarily want to work with Xbox Live. And this is also a weird thing because as silly as it is, this is such a video game thing where console wars is a thing. It's always been a thing. And people have this weird feeling like, should PSN work with Xbox Live? And I want sometimes that feeling sticks with companies as well. So just because they've been positive in the past, like you're saying, they might not do it anyway. So this might end up just being... you know, just Xbox and PC.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is...
they're just trying to call each other's bluff.
Well, Sony already pointed out that they already have cross-platform compatibility with PlayStation and PC.
Yeah.
And actually, you see, it's interesting. And actually, now that I think about it, Final Fantasy VII might be like this. The remake we're talking of. They have a port on the PC, and there's a lot of games that have PC ports, like Street Fighter V, I believe, is only on PS4 and PC.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird situation where it's no longer exclusive to consoles, which is what it was last generation. Lots of games didn't come out for PC. Yeah. I mean, that still happens, but now you're seeing situations where it's exclusive to one console, but it also comes out to PC, which I love since I have a PC, but...
Right.
I thought about this because a bunch of us recently got The Division. I would totally 100% prefer to play The Division on the PC.
Absolutely.
Because it runs better. I mean, it looks a little bit better.
I'd rather play most games. Actually, if I had the choice, I'd play all games on PC.
Yeah, exactly. And but we have friends who don't have PCs, so it would be great if I could use my PC and just play with somebody on PS4.
Yeah.
In a weird way, even if Xbox and PS4 didn't talk to each other, but PC and PS4 did, I would be okay. But it's another thing that they have to think about when they're doing this is different input methods. So keyboard and mouse is the main input method for computers. And so a game like Rocket League is perfect because you're probably going to be using your gamepad on the PC. But like if you're playing The Division, you know, people with mouse and keyboard probably have an edge.
Sure.
And also one issue that could crop up is that PC, I think PC is a little more susceptible to hacking because all the files are open, they're all there. I mean, hopefully this is on the manufacturer side, they can figure it out. But I don't know. I like this idea overall. There's just part of me that doesn't see this ever happening. Xbox and PC compatibility.
It was interesting because Phil Spencer didn't actually say PSN.
He did not.
He strongly hinted at it, and then Sony's response was very non-committal and be like, "Yeah, you know, it's kind of up to developers and so."
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that this will ever happen. It'd be awesome because I would love to just have an Xbox or, you know, play on the PC more often, but.
I mean, I get why they do this, but this whole thing just feels so silly. I mean, actually, the same thing happens with Android and iOS. I wish there was cross-platform buy. I hate that, you know, if I buy it on the PS4, I played the Division beta, and it didn't even know that I had an account.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Bothered me a lot, though, because it was actually a Ubisoft account that should have known
It.
That's
and
right.
Yeah.
I just wish there was just more of this. I mean, they usually do it across their own systems.
Right.
Like, for example, you can cross-buy with PlayStation 4, the Vita, and I think, you know, some of their phones also have like PlayStation compatibility or whatever like that. But I don't know. I'd love to see this happen. It almost feels like this is like the sign of the apocalypse if they actually work together because it's just such a weird thing. But I mean, more and more, it's like everything is getting democratized, but there are still so many lines drawn in the sand.
Well, let's go around the horn and answer this question to wrap it up. Like if... Let's say if everything becomes compatible, right? Do you see the one console? Like, do you think there's still enough room for all the consoles to exist? Would the consoles disappear and PC win out? Like, what do you think would happen?
I think that aspect, PC winning out. I know PC is coming back in a way, and as a PC gamer, I just don't get this idea. I don't think enough people want to build a PC, even though it is stupid easy to build a PC.
I would also point at the failure of Steam boxes. I mean, that was supposed to be the console computer, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, like something you could hook up. They had the TV mode, right? So you could just scroll.
What do you think would happen if Steambox was built on Windows? So that you didn't have to deal with compatibility and you knew.
But they have cheaper Windows gaming computers and stuff, I think.
They do.
That you can buy.
I guess, like, you know, I think there are little things that made the Steambox cool. It comes with a controller. You can turn it on with the controller. Like little things that you're used to.
The TV UI, I think, was big too.
Yeah.
It's not a mouse and keyboard.
That's a totally valid point that Steamboxes didn't do well. And console manufacturers or game manufacturers still know this. A lot of games sell by far the most on consoles. Like GTA 5, as far as I know, sold well on the PC, but it's not nearly as much
like
as consoles.
For a while, I think.
Yeah, most things. I mean, there are very specific games that do incredibly well on the PC, like MOBAs, because you can't really do that in the same way on consoles.
With the mouse and keyboard, right?
Answer. Stay the same. One lead the way. What?
I think. I think it'll stay the same for one reason. I think so. Consoles, I could see them one console winning out, but I think these companies have enough money that they can throw it at the wall and hope that the next time they'll win.
Yeah, and you still have
if
exclusives.
If they didn't have that, it'd be different.
You still have exclusives on either platform, although I think that's getting less and less every generation. But as long as there are still games you can only find on one platform, I think they'll still be somewhat of a market for both of these. And both of these systems are so big now, too.
Yeah.
I would like to see it happen because I think there'd be better competition, right? You'd have to differentiate on things other than stupid exclusives. I hate that model. It's an artificial thing, right? Like you can't program a game for another
console. When they're on the same chip, they're both AMD chips. Like they're
the
same.
It's totally bogus.
It's hilarious.
So one might perform better on one console versus the other because of the operating system and how it manages memory, etc. But it's totally an artificial choice.
It's just money.
So I would like to see like more competition on other factors like form factor. How you know, because they always release it and it's this big ugly box and then they put out the Slim. They've been doing that for a couple generations now, right? Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that there's going to be an Xbox One Slim and Xbox PS4 Slim, and you know, so why if everything else is equal, then they're going to have to differentiate on the design up front and not wait to release another one. They're going to have to differentiate on features like some of the stuff that Xbox had, really great ideas, but they walked it back because they kind of botched the messaging, but I think they had some good ideas. But
well, the funny thing, just a quick point on that, I feel like Microsoft is the one always trying those new things, and like on the Xbox One, most of them failed. Sony made a really good video gaming console.
Yeah.
They added some stuff on later, but I don't think anyone's buying their PS4 for Netflix.
Right.
They might use it as well. So I totally agree with that point. They have to build on other things, but it's funny if you can't execute.
The other interesting thing is this announcement or this rumor of upgradable consoles. So with that as a differentiating factor, that would actually, I mean, that would be a huge change as far as consoles go.
Yeah. So, one last quick question, Rob, do you think you would have bought a PS4 if it had if you originally bought the Xbox One,
right?
Say it was cross platform compatible, all that. Would you have ever bought a PS4?
No, because there's no exclusives that is only on the PS4 that I care about. And I like the controller much better on the Xbox. I like the TV integration stuff on the Xbox.
True.
Like,
I actually like the Xbox controller much.
I mean, most
you can talk to it.
The only literally the only reason, and the only games I buy for PlayStation are games that a group of us are playing.
Yeah.
It confuses Paul and Sean because they both have beards.
Okay, so there were a bunch of other announcements at GDC. A lot of them centered around virtual reality, which obviously we've been talking about and hyping for a long time. We are less than 2 weeks away from me getting the Rift, which I am so excited about.
Well, I will say Josiah and I said that this wasn't the year of VR, and Rob said it is. If it's not the year of VR, it's the year that The Unwind talks about VR. Because we talk about VR every single episode.
Pretty much one of the three topics every week.
But it's exciting. There's no other way around. The only reason why is because there's news coming out and people are talking.
I mean, it's the big thing in tech this year, right? I mean, it's clearly the big thing in games. It's clearly the big thing at GDC this year. So there are a number of announcements. But one I really wanted to highlight was PlayStation VR has been kind of like nothing concrete has really come out up until now. Like we've seen a few promo videos and things like that, but now we finally have the final release version. It's coming out in October, and we also have a price point at $400, which is the same as console, right? When it launched.
Yeah.
Interesting. The addition to that, though, is that it requires the PlayStation camera, which does not come bundled with PlayStations, I don't think.
No,
most
they don't.
PlayStations.
They'll probably do a bundle with the VR or something like that,
so
but
that's,
it is added.
That's another.
It absolutely requires it?
It does. Yeah. Okay. It absolutely requires it. That's how it does the
tracking. Head tracking. Gotcha.
So,
which, side note, I can't imagine that they sold that many PlayStation cameras. They couldn't have just had like a billion of them laying around and just add it to the package.
Yeah. So that bumps it, like, this is going off of new prices, so clearly you can find, you know, Craigslist, eBay, whatever. So another $50-$60 for the camera, and then other games will require two Move controllers, which in and of themselves are $50 a piece. So now you're talking about closer to $550-ish, which puts it up at the Oculus level, right, essentially, given the big difference.
Well, you can't say that because the Oculus doesn't come with the touch controllers.
Correct. That's true. And the other big given is that PlayStation 4 now you can get for sub 300 if you look, and Oculus you're still looking at an 800 to 1,000 plus computer to run it, right? So the specs came out for it, and we were looking at those, if I can pull them up. And the videos say 640 by 480.
It's going to be running at 1,000 frames per second.
Yeah. So it's like 1920 by 1080 compared to Oculus, which is 1260 by 1200. So it's a little bit of resolution. The refresh rate.
Oh, that's not as different as I thought, though.
The refresh rate is supposed to be the same at 90. Field of view is slightly smaller. I mean, it's, you know, on paper, it looks very similar. The big difference is the processing power behind it is coming from the PlayStation and not a beefy computer graphics card, right? So a lot of the games we've seen obviously don't have the high graphics fidelity that a lot of the Oculus games that are coming out have. That said, Eve Valkyrie, I think, is coming out on PlayStation VR, which is also coming out for
it
PC.
It sounds like they're making some decent games. Yeah. That's why I don't totally understand it.
The other big question mark was whether the device would either come with or include some boost of power, processing power, which it doesn't. So everything's coming straight off the PlayStation, which is kind of interesting. So what are your thoughts? I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of the games that have been promoed yet.
I heard about Rez, and there's another game I was hearing about. I'll admit I don't know. I definitely don't know much about the games. People had also been talking about... game was it? There's another game that's already out, which darn it, let me check. Well, I don't know. Do you know any of the other games off the top of your head?
I mean, nothing stood out to me when I saw them. Which again, like, the reason why I went with Oculus is, I mean, it was first to market, which helped, but there's three or four launch titles, which I'll talk about in a little bit, that caught my eye. So what do you think? And there was another VR device that came out. Who was it? One of the manufacturers. We were talking about it.
HTC or Huawei? No,
I forget. I'll look it up. But anyway, there's another VR device that got released too. That's
LG. They made one.
There's another one too. It's AR and VR combined in the same headset, and it's non-tethered. But anyway, I mean, do you see this being successful? I mean, clearly, tons of people already have PlayStations. There's a huge craze around VR right now.
It's definitely cheaper, but it's not super cheap either.
Right.
And as you already pointed out, it's as much as a console and a game when they first came out, right? And so I think about just parents, right? Like, they say, okay, well, we'll save up. We know that this doesn't happen every year, and we'll save up and get you something big this Christmas.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2 years later, it's like buying the same amount of, you know, the same value worth of accessories. So from that standpoint, I can't really see it being a huge seller with kids, with parents for their kids. Like, I don't know they'll be convinced that this is a special enough event. Especially because if you want to play any multiplayer games in the same room, you're going to need two of these, and I don't think you can actually run two of these.
Sorry, it was AMD who made the AR.
AMD, that's right, yeah. That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. From that standpoint, I think the sales are going to be somewhat depressed, but it's not like Oculus and Vive were going to get a bunch of parents buying it, because it'd be even more complex for a parent to buy that for their child, you know?
What are you buying your kid for Christmas? A $1,000 gaming PC and an $800 HTC Vive.
Yeah.
You
know? So, I mean, honestly, so from that standpoint, it is definitely the most consumer-friendly option.
Yeah.
And
I honestly see this selling more than Vive or Oculus.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'm definitely saying that. I just don't think it's going to sell as much as the consoles did in their first year.
In a weird way, this is almost, not completely, but this is almost a test of the buy-in of the general public, because there's just no way. I mean, there's definitely going to be some hype around VR, but I can't imagine that many non-gamers being like, oh, I just want to check this out, if they need a gaming PC and stuff like that. If they start coming out with VR movies, which they definitely will, that would be a whole different subset. But just as they stand right now, no normal person is going to buy a Vive or an Oculus just to try it out. Much more possible. Like, even people who are, you know, who game occasionally, but they don't have the time to invest in a PC, like, you know, like my brother, he might think about this because this could be a cool thing to get. And one quick thing, looking at some of the VR games, a lot of them sound like games that they've already had. Like, Adrift is a big one.
That's interesting. I didn't know Adrift was coming out on PlayStation VR.
But then they have Five Nights at Freddy's, which could be interesting.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Fuck that.
But then,
not playing that game.
Final Fantasy 14, Gran Turismo, that makes sense. Having a car game, Project Cars.
Oh, that'd
well.
Be slick.
Oh, hold yeah. on, hold on, hold on. But are these actual VR games though? Because I think they said all
they're
PlayStation
compatible.
4 games are compatible because they have that viewing.
Oh,
mode.
It's just gonna be like it's gonna feel like
it's like that cinematic
oh,
mode where
okay.
you like see a screen.
Well, that's why I was wondering, because one of the games is Tekken 7, which I can't imagine that's a VR
yeah,
game.
Yeah, no. That's a big distinction, though.
But even if some of these are, like, you could see a car game, definitely. I'm actually surprised there aren't more car games that are doing
yeah.
VR.
Project Cars.
Project Cars and Five Nights at Freddy's is a really good one to have. And so, I mean, man, imagine
yeah,
like
and that's
Slender
a relatively
man.
Low.
Yeah,
you know,
you could totally
low,
do
low
that.
Low processing power and stuff. Yeah.
So here's the thing I really like about the PlayStation VR. It's one of those when given constraints. Although I guess this doesn't really make sense when you extend it to the way consoles have dealt with games this cycle. But sometimes when you give people constraints, they have to innovate around it, right?
Mm, yeah.
And so I think PlayStation games, to a degree, from what I hear, like Rez and things, are thinking a little bit further outside the box. They're thinking of stuff that's a little lower graphically. Like, I think we talked about this last time, but a game like Superhot. Superhot,
yeah,
I think it supposedly
awesome
looks
VR
good.
Game.
I haven't played it. But it's simple. It's like a white background, polygonal. You could make a game that is fairly low graphically and make it pretty interesting. And so it makes these kind of games. I think somebody else, I think it's Thumper or something like that. It's a music game. And those are the games where the background, who cares what it is? It doesn't have to be some hyper-realistic shot of mountains and forest or space or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm really curious. I mean, clearly I'm not the average consumer. Like, I just spend way too much money on tech and games. So, like, you know, the Oculus was not really a hesitant decision for me.
If you know what SLI means. You know?
Yeah, so I'm really curious to see, because I didn't realize that Drift and Eve Valkyrie were coming to PlayStation VR. So I'm really curious to see what the comparison's going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, if there is a significant enough difference to say, like, nope, PlayStation VR is definitely the better way to go. I mean, clearly it's probably the best, besides the like the phone VR
yeah.
sets. Like, this is definitely the best way to get into VR, it seems like.
And I will say there's this level of, I mean, once you're convinced, it generally works, even if the graphics are worse. Like, a simpler example is, I think there are a lot of people who don't care that the PC has higher graphical fidelity, like, for normal games.
Yeah.
They would just rather, they like a console, they'll play it, that's totally fine. I don't know, people were saying differently. I played The Division on my PC, and I put it on Ultra, and I didn't think it looked that much better. But anyway, I actually played around with the Gear VR at a Best Buy, and it definitely, the graphics are way worse, and I got the screen door effect at first. But once you're in it, you kind of, you feel like you're in VR. Like, I was underwater, and it didn't look good at all. It looked really crappy, but it did feel like there was an orca whale about to eat me. Like,
yeah.
So there's some element of, even if you have lower graphical fidelity, it may not be as damaging as
it actually
thought.
Compares fairly well to the time you were almost really eaten by an orca whale. Like, oh yeah. My God, it's reminding me of that time.
It's, I mean, the seal safe. We talked about this. It's all about the experience. How immersive is that experience? How well are they wrapping you into whatever action is going on?
Yeah.
And that'll make you forget about the screen door effect, about the graphics and all that stuff. So,
and
yeah.
I can't say enough, one thing with the Gear VR, there are no cords. That's huge in
my
opinion.
Yeah.
So that makes a big difference. I can't wait till they can do that. But clearly right now, the Oculus requires like 3 or 4 cables.
Yeah,
Vive
ridiculous.
Requires like 1 or 2. So my point of saying that is, the PlayStation, it's just another, we're making it a little bit easier to get into VR.
Well, this
is first gen.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting is at least companies are doing different things. Like, there's the AR market, there's what Oculus is trying to do, which is more of a sit down and experience things. There's the Vive, which is more of a movement, like walking around in a smaller space. PlayStation, which is more consumer friendly. Like, every company's trying to do something a little bit different. So I hopefully that, you know, will result in some better outcomes.
And it's crazy how quickly all of this has become real. Like,
it's,
even on the AR side, HoloLens is still a long way out, but people talk about the Magic Leap.
The AMD
now
on,
you can kind of say Google Glass has elements of that. I mean, I feel like just yesterday it was a Virtual Boy, and I was just lost in those red games. God, but it's really cool. I'm glad this space is heating up.
So just to wrap this up, Oculus put out their 30. So Oculus comes out on the 28th, so now we're within 2 weeks. They put out their 30 launch titles, and along with prices, and also there's a new comfort rating now. as far, and it's, I think it's comfortable. There's a middle one and then intense.
The rating is moderate, just like pictures of me in varying states of vomiting.
And then the last one, how much like the last one's just projectile everywhere. So there's,
I like that. I think
it's smart. I think you definitely need that.
The Gear VR had that too.
The other interesting thing is that the price points vary from $5 to $60. Which is really interesting because
it's just like
for games.
It's like games. Indie games. Yeah. Now. Here's some indie games that you can just play with VR.
Yeah, $60. Yeah. I expect 200 to 500 hours worth of content.
Let's check the tables. Okay, 60.
But there's a bunch of games that stand out here that I'm super excited for. Adrift is definitely one.
PlayStation has
Adventure
it.
Time.
Well, so it's interesting. Elite Dangerous, I already own, so yeah. It'll be interesting to play.
What's
that.
What's Eve Gunjack?
I'm not sure. Eve Valkyrie obviously comes with the Oculus. I'm excited about that. Project Cars, I might try actually, because that looks be pretty cool to drive some badass cars in VR.
What about Lucky's Tale?
So what's interesting
or
is
pinball VR.
All the stuff that I've read coming out of people who've spent a lot of time, because obviously they have all the headsets down there at GDC.
Yeah.
People are saying that the third person games are the better experiences, which make no sense to me.
Wow.
At all.
I would love to
Can
be
you, like pick them up.
And
it's the God game.
Yeah, it's a
black and white.
Black and white. Yeah.
Every game made by Molyneux.
Wow, yeah, two Peter Molyneux references in one session. Wow.
But anyway, there's a ton of games. There will be a given that in 2 weeks we'll have another VR episode. Because we'll talk about how much Josiah throws up.
It'll be talking about how much I throw up and how much time Rob has not spent coding because of this. Or it'll be Rob bitching about how it hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah, basically.
More than likely, it'll be how absent I am from the real world now that I'm in this VR space.
We can't find him.
Anyway, so let's take a quick break and move on to the change up, which is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commentist website and clicking on the banner. So in other recent news, there was a historic win for computers and the AI race. So Google has their DeepMind computer system, right?
Yeah.
Computer system,
I guess.
Yeah,
I think it's a couple hamsters in a box.
So they created a program called AlphaGo to challenge one of the legendary Go players in the world. And before this match, no computer program has ever beaten a champion.
No,
player.
That's not
Isn't
true.
That what it was? They've never won a Go game against
before AlphaGo existed, because it
what did
played.
I say?
Before this
yeah,
match,
it
because
European
it played another.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Yeah, before AlphaGo, So, thank you. So this was a high profile match. I think the winner was getting $1 million, something like that. They played a best
the
out
robot
of
robot got $1 million.
Thank you. He now has a mansion, and he spent it on hookers and cocaine.
I'm going to buy some Budweiser.
He owns all of the porn websites now. So it was really high profile match though, and the Korean player, Lee Sudol, right?
Sudol.
Was very cocky going into this. Ended up losing the first three straight matches and the whole game. Won the fourth.
AlphaGo won.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, AlphaGo won the first
The human
three.
Player.
Yeah, the human player lost three. So the final outcome was 4-1. Big victory for AI. And just really interesting.
Well, it's still historic because Lee Sedol was the first player to defeat AlphaGo.
Right.
Oh,
so he did win one match. Yeah.
After that match, somehow it changed his name to Skynet. We don't know what happened.
So there's a lot of stories that are coming out about implications of how this is going to be put to wider use. So the question of the week is, what is the next thing that is going to be made obsolete by artificial intelligence? And my vote is for StarCraft. I think StarCraft is going to become a completely true esport in that it's all computers playing against each other and no humans will be in the way.
The APM is just infinite.
There'll be so many Zergling, Baneling rushes. It'll be insane.
Well, that's interesting because there's an old episode of Star Trek where it's basically just two computers having a war. And so they get to this planet and they're like, holy shit, all these people are... being decimated by this war, and then they figure out oh no, it's actually just a computer simulation, and it's these two planets are warring against each other by computer simulation.
Nice,
but the twist, there's always a twist, yeah. right, is that when troops are lost in the simulation, people in the population who weren't at war have to be killed.
Oh, shit.
To balance things out.
That laugh after that was a little scary.
Are you sorry, Sean. You were chosen.
Yeah. So, anyhow, yeah, it'd be fun to watch computers play StarCraft against each other, I guess.
I guess you can do that already, though.
Yeah.
I'd wonder if
StarCraft 2. It has that in it.
I wonder if the computers would start to get fat and, like...
it's interesting because... really pale. Like, I wonder when this will bleed over to computer... like, to game AI. Like, what implications this has for games in general and seeing much more intelligent... like, when I'm playing online, AI... eventually tends to get like sort of repetitive and you can sort of tell what they're gonna do.
Oh wow, I played StarCraft versus some guy named Watson. This guy sounds like a lame-o.
What a loser.
I could probably kill him easily.
Yeah,
5,000 APM, that's not even possible.
He's destroyed me and diagnosed my cancer. It's so weird. This is not a big surprise, but I really hope and the next thing that AI makes obsolete is driving, because I just...
I took it.
Okay. Well, cancer diagnosis.
Your cancer diagnosis while you're in your car going to work.
That'd
be a depressing day. Jesus.
Yeah, but I saved 5 minutes on my commute.
Garfield hates Mondays for a reason, man.
I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but I think there is an element, and they're doing a lot of this stuff, but Watson... anything that requires assumptions using knowledge, erase that from what I just said. So they're using in the healthcare field, because you think about, you know, it can pull from so many different medical cases. It can pull from so much knowledge, so many books and so many things. It can start thinking of ideas. So it would be interesting if you could maybe, you know, it wouldn't be maybe the final deciding factor. And this is, I feel like, what we do in a lot of situations. I think of sports as well. You use technology as the helper, but the final decision is made by a human.
Yeah.
You think about, you know, using things like this to make diagnoses and figuring out things. The other thing is, you know, I was thinking about it. We've built an AI that can beat somebody at Go, but TI calculators still $80. Just, like, seriously, what's going on? Can someone tell me about this? Jesus.
Yeah. All right. So the last topic for today, just to kind of basically make this show a complete echo of episode 72, I'll be talking a little bit about Kanye. At least I'll use him to introduce the topic at hand. So, Kanye released an update to his latest album. I'm not exactly sure what he did. Like,
he went in and changed a few lyrics.
Yeah,
and I think they
changed production a bit on some of the songs. Yeah. And specifically, I think on Famous, and yeah, maybe some other things.
So that is really bizarre. Like, I don't think that typically happens.
It doesn't happen in public.
Well, it doesn't happen after the release, and it's different from a remix, because he's changing the only versions of these songs. Because the only place you can get these, well, legally get these, is by subscribing to Tidal.
Right.
And by design, a lot of people who had to would have had to actually start being billed after their month-long trial of Tidal got an update today saying that they got another, I think, 14 days or maybe 30 days free of Tidal after this launch here. So I'm using this to not talk about Kanye, but to say, is this going to be a new norm? I'm sure Kanye would argue that it's either the new norm or it's only good enough for him, whichever one. Or he's the only person good enough for it, rather.
Kanye is a service. That's the only thing. Cast, no other music.
The new cast
Kanye
model.
Is
a
service.
Yeah, but you bring up a good point, Sean, in that it parallels what we do with software, right? So it's not like, here's a remix of a game. It's just
the DLC.
Here's the updated album version of the game.
The patch.
Right?
Does he have patch notes?
Yeah, this was going to say. I wonder if he has like notes at the bottom. It's like, fix this, fix that.
The beats per minute is now 148, whereas before it was 142.
Took out Ho in line 42 because it was offensive.
I will say, though, as many jokes as we make, Kanye, in terms of being a musician, he probably knows that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
So he could write those notes. I don't know if he would, but I could see him actually writing.
Right after he finished stealing someone's software to make those beats. But... But yeah, so I just think it's an interesting model. Like, we look at other media, other forms of media. And obviously, the obvious one is software and video games, right? Yep. Where you come out, you release it, you update it, you make it better as you go on.
Wow.
Potentially.
Star Wars is a movie that did that. That did not do it
right.
Well.
Yeah. And exactly. Yeah, so it even example. Exists in movies. And that was the example I was going to bring
got
up.
Got him. Got him back.
You got Son. Him. And then they do this with ebooks, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, there have been examples of them pushing out updates and changing
Huck Finn
words.
Huck Finn has the N-word a lot less all of a sudden. Took out racism.
You know, but it's a common thing to do versions of a book, right? Like in college, you had version one, yep. version yep. two, yep. whatever. And now, you know, you can get That's it pushed true. Out yeah. to you, right? So when you look at those other media platforms where they do versioning, this is what Sean brought up either last week or a couple weeks ago, this idea of user feedback, right? So could you ever get to a point where artists are revising mm-hmm. their albums based on user feedback? I don't know.
Well, the cool thing is you could almost have a crowdsourced album.
Yeah.
In a sense, right? Like yeah. not just changing because you want people to change, but actually like crowdsourcing certain parts of the album to see what direction it takes. Just, like over time. God.
Imagine the pop single. Boot it. I don't know. Burger King. I don't know. Like, I feel like this just be random
what?
Shit.
What well, song no, is but that?
You haven't been listening to the radio lately.
Clearly not.
But you could effectively do A B testing on the beat, right? Like which
right,
hook.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe for pop, I hate this idea.
Lay it down, Sean.
I
spit the hot fire.
Don't like that.
And if they don't like it, we'll re-release it.
So it works perfectly for video games because there's issues in terms of
bugs.
Game fixes. Yeah. I mean, these are literally, it doesn't work. If somebody releases a CD that doesn't play on your system, I totally understand. Release a fix so you can play the CD. But the idea when you move into art, and you made a great example of Star Wars, they had a version and they changed it. Now, there are definitely going to be situations where it's made better, and that's like the counterpoint. But the hope is that the vision you make is hopefully what you want to make, and that's what it is. And then especially people, I mean, there are a lot of artists. I feel like it's very typical of artists to be perfectionists. They're just continually going to change. It's actually, I have two interesting Kanye anecdotes. No, so I remember once for...
Can I just say real quick? The only song off the Kanye album I heard was Backwards.
That's not true. You heard the first song off the album, Ultra.
Oh, that's right. That's
but yeah,
right.
No. But anyway, I remember when he put out My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, he put out a music video first as kind of a promo, and he put a bunch of songs in it. And the mix of the first song of the track has one part in the chorus that sounds different from the final version on the album. Hmm. And I remember hearing the album, I'm like, I don't like this, because I remembered it as the other way, and yeah. I didn't like it. You get used to it, whatever. And actually, I don't remember what the original was, but I guess there is some precedence that he's done that. Another example is, I found this really interesting, so... In case you don't know, I've downloaded some music illegally before. But anyway, sometimes you get online the advanced copy.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know if I still have it. I had an advanced copy of Kanye's first album. The whole time he rapped in a deeper voice. Because if you think about it, Kanye is not like a hardcore rapper. He doesn't try to be a gangster rapper. He has a voice that's not really rough. And I'm sure, you know, it's rap. You try to sound hard. And it was funny because the tracks, he had a completely different voice. And these are the kinds of things that artists might think about. And, you know, I feel like you just got to go with what makes sense. And, you know, if it's bad, I don't know. It's art. I guess there's nothing wrong with leaving it open. But then I don't like that idea generally.
You bring up interesting concepts there, and that's my way of saying you bring up a good point.
doesn't want to award you points for
no,
this.
No, you remind me of this album, what was it? I think it was Bleecker Street. It was a Dave Matthews Band album, and a friend of mine got like a bootleg version of
You're
it.
Whiter
and,
than me, man.
Are you talking about the Lily White Sessions that got released?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind.
But
you're
I think
both
it was...
whiter than me. Jesus,
what? He's African.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like 3/5 of the
band
is
black,
African American.
but who listens to him? All white people.
But
got him.
But so there was a version of the song that I really liked, and then the commercial release came out, and it was completely different.
Yeah.
Like it was. much more overproduced and you know, just like a lot more like, okay, here's some extra instruments rather than just kind of a raw good sound and like a you know, from the heart sound. So with that, with different versions of music, though, you still can typically get, you know, you can find that ultra rare version, and that's been going on since music has been a thing, right? Go find this bootleg, go find this live audience recording, whatever. But in this case, because of the digital distribution channels, it is the only copy that you can get, you know, without going and finding bootleg copies effectively. So from that standpoint, I think it's an interesting model, and it might, you know, in this case, he's saying he did it on purpose. Maybe it's just a, I don't know if it was a, an artistic decision so the music could grow with his taste. And let people listen to it, because, you know, we know he's not about getting user feedback. He doesn't really care. Or maybe it was just a kind of a publicity stunt. Who knows?
So I really like the concept of this, right? And that, well, I go back both ways. So Sean, you brought up an interesting point. It's just like you had a vision when you made this song at the time that you made it, right? Like Adele makes albums that align with her age, right? So like, so I think it's interesting. So it's like a snapshot of what she was like at that point in time, right? So I think if you change the songs over time, it would change the meaning behind it, and then it kind of, you know, dumbs down the whole concept of it. But anyway, but the idea, and also coming from a software perspective, like I like the idea of updating things that you go back and you're like, oh, this could have been better. And as someone who put out an album before, I can say there's a lot of things I would change. So
see if you can find that on the internet.
Well, it's like the Chronic and Chronic 2000, right?
Just, yeah, exactly. It's exactly the same level of depth. Anyway, so I like that. The only problem I have with it, and this is clearly my bias against Kanye, but the problem I have with that is the whole title piece of this. Like, yeah. I think it was totally a stunt. Clearly, with the timing of it, it was to get people to buy title service. Mm-hmm. So that's really... And from what I've heard, there are two minor changes. Like, he didn't change...
Yeah, it's not like he
didn't change,
new
like,
songs.
New verses. Yeah. He didn't, like, reproduce a song or whatever. So my issue with it is that it clearly just seems like a stunt that title paid him to do in order to get people to sign
up,
as
opposed to him it being something he really wants to do. Right. I mean, yeah, and I don't know. I don't see that many artists wanting to do this. Like, there was something you said that made me think of, like, this is how you look at it from, I don't know, a computer engineering software. You said you could crowdsource an album.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like that's the opposite of what musicians...
But it's
well, it
like,
depends
it's
on what
like
they're trying
thing.
To do.
Yeah, it is. It is depending
like
on
if
what
someone was
do,
like, oh,
but...
what if you put a trumpet? Like, if all these people were like, oh, it'd be really cool to have a trumpet riff right here. Yeah. Like, that's something you could add over time.
Like, it's like a Wikipedia really cool. You can add.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
you
that would be really cool to see where, like, if you upvoted things, right, and people had ideas that threw up for one album. So they put out a bass song, and then people, like, you know, on Reddit just threw a bunch of stuff out there and people upvoted what they liked, and then they changed the song according to like top things. It'd be kind of cool to see how it went.
It'd be interesting to see.
So I think of a comparable,
copyrighted. It's my
a comparable patent. Model in where this book called Follow the Geeks, right? And so these two authors were interviewing well-known people in technology, mostly well-known people. There are a couple chapters where they interviewed some people that weren't as famous, but they'd interview somebody and write a whole chapter about them. They'd release the whole chapter in its entirety on their website, and people could go in and read it and comment and all this stuff. And then they'd take those comments, and the top comments they actually included in the final version of the book. And in some cases, they actually went back and made edits to the content of the chapter. So they did it one, so they'd say, okay, anybody can read this for 1 month. They took it down after a month and went on to chapter two. And then at the end of this, I think there's 12 or 13 something chapters, and they compiled this as an actual book. So in that case, that was their crowdsourcing model.
Did they have an actual editor for that, or did they use crowdsourcing as editing?
It was crowdsourcing effectively.
That's really
interesting. The two people were I forget their names right now, Jason somebody, but they're both like journalists.
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know, they have some expertise in writing.
That's interesting.
Stuff. They put crowdsourcing usernames. Boobies42.com.
Thank you. Shout out goes out to Boobies42 and Yeah.
Well, there's also one other. There's a technical question throughout all this too. If you're not using a streaming service, what do you do? Even outside, right, like the obvious one is a physical copy. If you buy a physical copy, you can't really update.
You download
that.
The DLC.
But even if you
download,
you totally
it overwrites the disc, right? Like, I mean, that's what
you have to reburn it.
Yeah.
Well,
no, you just make it on a rewritable CD.
No, I'm talking an MP3.
So I guess that's what I'm saying.
Even if
so,
it's not streaming, you can still push out an upgrade.
So, okay, yeah. If you have physical, I think it would be difficult. Like, if you listen to it in your car that has a CD player, you can't really add it on there unless they send. If you have an MP3 version, they could send. Like, if you buy it off a site, maybe the site doesn't get the update or it goes down. I mean, I know this is like kind of a fringe thing, but you have to have this infrastructure set up.
Yeah.
So maybe it'd be a feature of one service or something like that.
Maybe, but I mean, you know, even with a console game, you get physical media, it dials back to the server, right? So with a CD, I'm not saying this
but you
is
have
a good,
hard drive.
I'm not saying it's a good idea, but it's like I could have MP3s that within a 48-hour period have to dial back to the server, and when they dial back to the server, they say, oh, here's the new version, push it out.
Man, imagine you get some album and then like it re-releases as a Kidz Bop version because it got mismatched. Like, damn it, not again.
We've got the new Kidz Bop update.
And then all the kids who got Kidz Bop gets like the new the hard version, the game uncensored.
Parental advisory, yeah. Sounds good. So, yeah, I know we kind of took it to extremes there a little bit towards the end, but it's just an interesting concept.
I have two new business models. I'm totally making companies out of this. All right, so that is going to do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes and Stitcher. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube page by searching for The Commentist. Please share us with your friends. Leave us some comments. You can submit questions and topics to us directly by going to theunwind.audio. Also, be sure to check out The Commentist website, where you can find many of our other great shows on our network, including Roll the Hit, which the three of us are on, our D&D podcast, Bearded Vegans, we have Sky on Fire, we have Prayer Hands Emoji, Kiss the Crest, plenty of good shows, many different topics. Check it out, and we'll see you next week.
I'm going to let you finish, but I was thinking of cutting you off and saying, I'm going to let you finish, but Kiss the Crest is the best podcast of all time. But you had already said Kiss the Crest.
Check, 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 check.
Chiggity.
Credit cards, Rob. We don't use checks anymore.
Got them.
Got them. Yes. Because you always say that. You always got them.